Thank you, worship team. God's grace and peace be yours today in the name of Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Hey, St. Luke's, good to see you. It is so good to be here. It's so good to be here with you all as we gather together. We gather as a community of Christ, and we gather in His name, gathering around His Word. This is what it looks like. This is what it means for us to worship as followers of Jesus Christ. But that does beg the question for us, you know, what does that mean? What does it mean really for us to be followers of Jesus? You know, what does it look like? How does it change the way that we live? How does it impact the way that we interact with one another? And this is what we're going to be talking about here this summer. This is what we're going to be unpacking together with this new sermon series, Summer with Jesus. What does it look like? What does it mean for us to be followers of Jesus? And so we're, in this time, going to be digging in into the Gospels. We're going to be walking through the Gospels with Jesus and letting Jesus' parables and actions and teachings, the things that He did, start this conversation as we look at what are the different aspects of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And so in this time, as we do that, we're going to be identifying and unpacking a couple things that we see as this is what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. And so these are those pillars of discipleship for us. The first thing being that we worship. We are people who worship. And so we're going to talk about that this morning. Discipleship means we're people who are in Bible study, that we spend time in God's Word, communing with Him. We're people who pray. People who pray, people who are in community, that we do life together, and also that we are a part of the mission of God. And God has sent forth this mission that we are to proclaim and send out the good news of Jesus Christ to the world, that they too may know Him, and that we are also to love our neighbor. This is what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. And so today we begin that by starting and looking at the beating heart of what it means to be the church, the beating heart of what it means to be a disciple in worship. What is worship? What does it look like to do worship? How is it supposed to be done correctly? What is worship supposed to look like? And worship is one of those things that I think, on one side, we're like, yeah, well, of course, we know what worship is. I come to church every Sunday, I sit in my pew, this is worship, this is part of who we are. But, you know, at the same time, I think worship is also kind of a complex thing to talk about. It's a little bit deeper than just kind of showing up and sitting in the pew. So what truly is worship? And that's what we're going to be talking about and unpacking this morning. So as we think about worship and what it is, I want to primer that discussion and conversation with a quick video. At the core of worship, that's what it's all about right there. That we come and bow down to our God and Creator. There ends my message. There's a lot to unpack there. There's a lot going on. And so today, as we begin to really wrestle with worship, really the first thing is we have to confront this reality that when we're talking about worship, there is a difference between praise and worship. There is a difference between praise and worship. And, you know, that's hard for us to understand and talk about because oftentimes we use those words interchangeably. We often use those words synonymously. When we're talking about praise, we're talking about worship. We're talking about what happens here in this building. We're talking about whether or not the singing and the music was good, and the singing and music is great. But that's just a piece of what we're talking about. Worship and praise are not two or one in the same thing. When we're talking about worship, we often talk about worship, like I said, as if, well, worship was really good because the music was good. Or worship was really good because the sermon was nice and short. Or worship was really good because everything went really smoothly, right? But when we talk about worship, really deep down, there is something core to who we are as believers in Jesus. And it's something more complex than really all of those things that we just talked about. And so to get to the heart of worship and what worship is and how this fits into our life of faith, we really need to open up to the scriptures and see what Jesus teaches about worship. And so this morning, I encourage you to grab your pew Bible. We're going to open up to John chapter 4. And in your pew Bible, John chapter 4 is page 889. And that's where we're going to be focusing a little bit this morning. And if you open up, you might see a passage. It kind of looks familiar. John chapter 4 is this passage about the woman at the well, this Samaritan woman that Jesus talks to. And so in the narrative, Jesus and his disciples are traveling on through Samaria, and Jesus, he's tired, so he sits down at this well to rest. And the Samaritan woman comes up. She comes up to the well, and Jesus and this woman have a conversation. And so Jesus says to her that he asks her if she will get him a drink out of the well. And she says, well, you don't have anything to actually, you know, draw water up with. And so they just kind of start to have a conversation about water. And he tells her about this living water that he is offering, that if you drink, you will never have to drink again. You will never thirst again. And so this sparks her interest, and so she starts to interact with him a little bit more and ask him about that, and she wants some of this living water. And Jesus says to her, you know what, let's continue this conversation. Why don't you bring your husband along? And she says, oh, well, you know, I don't have a husband. And Jesus says, you're right. The one that you have right now is not your husband, and you've been married 5 times. And so there's all this kind of stuff going on, and so this woman realizes this guy knows some stuff. And so we turn to John chapter 4, verse 19. That's where we continue on. And so she realizes, who is this guy? And so she responds to him astutely, sir, I believe that you are a prophet. And so perceiving that this is a special guy, perceiving that this is a prophet, she begins to have this spiritual conversation with Jesus about worship. So verse 19 and 20, she says, sir, I perceive you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain. But you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship. And Jesus responds to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. And so here in John chapter 4, Jesus lays it out in front of us. He's like, okay, you want to know what worship is all about? You got to worship God in spirit and in truth. And we're like, what does that mean? Jesus lays it out, but he doesn't explain it to us. What does it mean for us to worship in spirit and in truth? And to really understand what Jesus is talking about here, we have to understand the context of what this woman and Jesus are talking about. And so if we look back, this woman is talking about her people worshiping on this mountain, and the Jews are worshiping over here in Jerusalem. So the question that we're dealing with here is not really how to worship, but where to worship. It's a question of location. And so the Jews are worshiping over in Jerusalem. The Samaritans are worshiping on this mountain in Samaria. So where is the right place to worship? We don't know. And Jesus says, that's the wrong question. Because when we're talking about worship, you know, they're not talking about the worship style. They're not talking about music or anything like that. But rather, what they're talking about is an encounter with God. Where do we encounter God? And so Jesus, you know, yeah, he's pointing to Jerusalem here. I mean, this is where the temple is in Jerusalem. The temple is where the Jews are worshiping. This is where the Spirit of God resides. Not in this mountain in Samaria, but rather in Jerusalem, in the temple, in the holiest place, in the most holy place. And so that leads us to our reading this morning from Hebrews 9. And in Hebrews 9, we get a picture of what this worship looked like in the temple. See, worship was the chief priest going into this temple, offering this sacrifice to God, and then God providing propitiation or covering over the forgiveness of the sins of the people through that sacrifice. There is a relationship here that we see. There's a relationship of holiness. You see, this is how it works. The chief priest had to go in and make a sacrifice, make an offering so that God's people could approach God, because they're unholy people. We are unholy people. We are sinful. We can't approach God on our own because God is holy and we are not. And so this relationship that we see here in worship is a relationship of holiness, where God comes and encounters his chief priest in the temple to make his people holy. And so it's different than what we're talking about with praise. So praise and worship are different. Praise is more one-dimensional. And praise is one direction, where it's us going up to God, not the other way around. Now, I want to also just note that praise is a good thing. Praise is a great thing. The scriptures are full of praises to our God. We have an entire book of the Bible in Psalms that's dedicated to songs to our God, bringing praise, bringing thanksgiving, bringing songs to our God, recounting and retelling the wondrous works of our God. Praise is a good thing, but God does not respond with praise to us. It's a one-direction relationship, our praise to him. Worship is different. Worship is a two-way relationship, a relationship between a creator and his creation. It's relational. It's not one direction. And it has to do with kind of this temple, that the fact that this is where God's Spirit dwells. This is where we can come and encounter God, where we can be in his presence. And through that, as we bring this offering, we can receive God's gifts to make us right with him. And that's the temple context of worship that we're talking about. Now, of course, we don't do that anymore. We don't go to the temple to bring offerings. We don't come and bring a bloody sacrifice to God in order that we might stand before him. So what does this have to do with how we worship today? What does worship look like? And this leads us to our gospel reading from Matthew 27. And in Matthew, we read about the crucifixion of Jesus. We read as Jesus is hanging on the cross, as he is bleeding, and as he is dying on his cross, as he is giving up his spirit, breathing his last breath, something incredible happens. And as we read it in Matthew 27, and as you read it in any of the Gospels, it's like this one little line. It seems so innocuous. It's right there, but it's so important to our life of worship. As Jesus dies, as he gives up his spirit, there's this curtain or this veil in the temple, and it separated the holy place from the most holy place. And in that moment, that curtain tore in two. in that moment, this wall of separation, this curtain that separated the outside world from the place where God's Spirit dwelled in the temple was torn down. Through the death of Jesus Christ, this wall of separation is torn down, and we are given access to God. Direct access to the Father through Jesus. And this changes the game. And so now, instead of going to the temple to find the Spirit of God, going to the temple in order to encounter God's presence, in order to be made right with Him, we encounter God here. We worship here in this building. This is our worship center. This is where we come in contact with God. This is where we experience this worship, and this is where we see God here present with us. Instead of bringing an offering, the offering has already been brought. In the temple context, the chief priest brought this offering to God in the holy place to make a sacrifice of atonement for the people and their sins. But that blood debt has been paid. For Christ, the true high priest, offered his own life as that bloody sacrifice to make you white as snow, to cover over all of your sins and to make you holy so that you might be worthy to approach God and encounter Him here in worship. We don't need to go to the temple. We don't need to go to the temple to find God's presence. We don't need to go to the temple to find the Spirit of God. In fact, if you are a baptized believer in Jesus Christ, the Scriptures tell us that you have the Holy Spirit inside of you. We don't need to go to the temple because the temple is already here. The temple is here amongst us, here within your hearts. The temple is here in the church. The Apostle Paul wrote, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? You have been bought with a price." The temple is here among us. And this is where we have the opportunity to encounter God and see Him each and every week. And so, yeah, this is where we bow down to Him. This is where we come and surrender to our God. But when we do that, we receive the gifts of God through Jesus. God offers us gracious gifts through His Son, Jesus Christ, through His death and resurrection. And here in this place in worship as we encounter Him, this is where we receive them. And so we do gather. We gather, as Jesus said, in spirit and in truth, as He is revealed to us in this place. And Christ, God is revealed to us first and foremost as the Word of God is spoken here. God is revealed to us in Scripture, and we encounter Him here. We encounter God, He is revealed to us as He comes to us in the waters of holy baptism, through something so simple as water. God comes to us, and we encounter Him as we eat the bread and the wine and receive His true body and blood for the forgiveness of sins and Holy Communion. This is worship. This is worship, that we would come and we would bow down before Him, unworthy to stand before Him, pleading, offering nothing but our filthy hands and our sinful nature. That's the offering that we have to bring to Him. And at the beginning of our worship service, we did that. We came before Him. We offered to Him our sinfulness. And we heard the good news that God is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That is worship. That we come and bow before Him, and God provides all that we need. He provides the Lamb of Christ. He provides the sacrifice. He provides the forgiveness of sins. This is worship. And so we worship God in spirit and truth as true heirs of Christ and as in his inheritance. He is the one that has done it for us. It is not our work, but his work. We are truly just part of it because of something that he has done. And so in this place, as we gather in his name, as we gather around his word and around his sacraments, God speaks to us. God comes to us with words of life and forgiveness. And we respond. We do respond with words of faith, with words of praise and words of thanksgiving. And may that be true for you, that you are continually refreshed here in this place as you gather and as you receive in mind, body, and spirit the true gifts of God. As you come into this place and you surrender yourself to a God who is your creator, only to receive the gifts of eternal life that are won for us through his Son, Jesus. Amen.